All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, November 13th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a three-game NBA main slate tonight. We have Thursday night football. We have a 10-game NHL slate. And then we have a single college football showdown. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You'll also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. I have the NBA slate for tonight pulled up as just a starting point. I know golf teed off earlier this morning as well, so good luck to anybody playing some golf. We are going to work our way top down here and start with questions. So our first question of the day, this is a note I made to myself, discuss the late swap toggles. Yeah, so we can absolutely do that. This is kind of a follow-up on a question we answered earlier in the week, just going over the late swap process in general. So I'm going to go pull up our late swap tutorial. Now, in the late swap settings, right, before you click the button to, like, generate your swap, you can adjust some settings, right? And what are these options? What is everything at your disposal, right? So the run late swap automatically, what that means is that, like, when you click the button, it's supposed to kick off your build simultaneously. Only swap lineups containing out players. This means that, let's say you're playing 10 lineups. Well, let's say somebody gets ruled out. Well, maybe you only have that player in two lineups, right? Well, what would happen is we would keep your eight lineups without that player the exact same. And then when this is on, we would only swap the two lineups that had the player who was out. So that is what this one does. Always include original lineup in swap. What this means is that, you know, when we generate your late swaps, right, what we're doing is we are locking in the players who have started. We are then randomly sampling the sims again, like pre-build. And the only difference is that we're saying, hey, these slots are already taken and this much salary is used. We're then using the sims the same way. We're saying, hey, there is this much salary left and there are these many positions left. Based on the results of the sims we just pooled, what is the best combination of players under the salary cap with the correct eligibility that we can now put into the rest of this lineup? When we late swap, it is not guaranteed that the lineup that you had pre-slate is going to be one of your options. Maybe projections have changed. Maybe those players aren't as good as they were before, right? Maybe some huge values opened up and, you know, this lineup doesn't really fit as well. Some people always like to see their original lineup and just kind of have it as like an anchoring point. Like, hey, this is where I started. I want to compare these new options to the original. Well, and to clarify, your original can be built, but it is not guaranteed to be built. That is the difference there. When you turn this toggle on, you are guaranteeing that your original lineup is always going to be part of your swap pool. That's what this one does. Group duplicates. This actually, a good example of this came up the other day. Somebody was like, hey, I have 10 lineups spread out across 120 entries. When I try to late swap, it keeps trying to give me 120 unique lineups, but I do not want that. How do I prevent that, right? In that case, what you would do is you would turn on the group duplicates toggle. It'll say, hey, we had 10 unique lineups to start. we are going to only swap those 10 lineups. And if this lineup is used in three contests, guess what? We're going to put that new swap into those three contests. So it will maintain your same number of unique lineups. So those are what the different toggles do in late swap. All right. Good question there. Next question. I'm building a full showdown workflow where I run multiple SaberSim builds with different max salary caps, 50K, 49.7, 49.4, etc., to test how each salary tier affects ROI, duplication, and lineup quality across different contest types. For each salary build, I want to generate lineup groups for contests like the Flea Flicker, Mini Max, Single Entry, and 3 Max, then compare the groups' average ROI, max ROI, and dupes. My goal is to pick the best performing group for each contest from across all salary builds, then save those winning groups into a master pool for my entries that night. I'd like help walking through how to set up these builds, evaluate the lineup groups, and export/save them efficiently inside SaberSim. Okay, this is a big question, right? I think what you need to do, and I'm going to demonstrate this on a smaller scale. You know, I'm not going to do all these. So let's go to like showdown for tonight. Because really what you're doing, right, is you're doing one process and then you're just doing it over and over and over again, right? So like once you have it down for like one build, you're kind of just rinse and repeating at that point. So let's say that I want to do something we said Flea Flicker, right? Flea Flicker was one. So even if you don't have an entry file uploaded, right, come in, turn on the Flea Flicker contest sim. Okay, great. Now I go to my build, and let's say that this is the salary cap of, say, 49.7, right? Okay, I'm going to set this one to 49.7, and then I am going to build some lineups. And let's say that, you know, you're playing 150 max and you want to take, you know, let's say you're playing on 150 max, you want to use 10 different caps. Well, then maybe what we want to do, right, is take like the top 15 lineups from each cap and then combine those lineups into one big 150 set. Right. So then what I would do here is I would run a build. I would run my sims. I don't really need to diversify here because I don't think you're really diverse. Like I would just use ROI for this one because it's not like a true portfolio diversification when you're grabbing lineups from different builds. So I'd probably just use top ROI. I take my 15 lineups with this salary cap. I didn't even name these, right? Rename this one so I know what it is. Hey, this is my 49.700. And then once I have these 15 lineups, what I would do is, well, one, stay in compact mode. And then you can shift, click the bookmark. I don't know where my group went. I might have did that wrong. Contest sim, ROI. Bookmark, and then we go down to 15. Shift click. Okay, so you just click the first one, and then you shift click the last one. Now all these are like a different tone, and then now I have 15 lineups in my favorites. So I think this is like probably something you're trying to do. The other thing is that since we don't have these contests loaded up in our file, we got to change our metric from target ROI to the ROI of the contest that we're simming. So like now I can see it, right? And then the ROI is blank because it's not target. If you want to see it, then just right click on a column header, click edit columns, and then go and find that specific sim that you ran. So then now, because I just turned it on by myself, It is here, right? So this is the ROI for the flea flicker. So I can see it. I can see the lineups ROIs. I can see the aggregate metrics. I set up one build, and then I would just do this over and over again, right? Do 49.4, do 49.1, do 49.8, and then just continue to grab those lineups, send them, grab them, send them, grab them, send them. And then maybe you want to favorite some groups, right? Maybe you want to use 30 from some or 45 from another, or however you decide to divvy it up. But this is effectively, I think, kind of the workflow that you're looking for. All right, next question. If I remember correctly, adding custom projections just moved the distribution of the players. Has this changed at all? Good question. So the answer that I'm aware of is no, this has not changed to the best of my knowledge. So for instance, right, say we pull up Travion Henderson projected for 19.33 fantasy points. We pull up his distribution, right? Well, let's say you use custom projections. Your projections boost him from 19.33 to 21.33, right? You give him a 2-point boost. Well, now every time he scores 10, he's going to score 12. Every time he scores 40, he scores 42. What we do is we maintain the shape, and then we shift it over to match your new mean. I think it's a really good thing, because if you think you have more accurate means, you get, you know, your mean, but then you get the SaberSim range of outcomes kind of with it. And now it's like a little bit of like the best of both worlds. So that still works the same as far as I know. I think it's still a really good thing. So hope that provides some clarification. All right, next question. I understand that moving the sim diversity slider pulls from a smaller or larger amount of sims depending on the direction you move. Can you explain how this may impact roster construction and stack types? Should the correlation slider generally be adjusted as well if you choose to adjust sim diversity? Okay, good question. So first off, I do not think if you move one, you need to move the other. Now, what I imagine would happen is that when you raise sim diversity, you're almost amplifying the raw correlations. And then when you lower sim diversity, you're effectively lowering the raw correlations. And the reason for this, right, is, you know, let's say we pull up Stephon Diggs. All right. He has very high correlation to Drake May, right? 0.38. Well, when we're relying on a smaller number of sims and Diggs does good, it is almost more likely that you're going to get May with him because of this high correlation and you're using a small number of sims. But when you use a lower sim diversity, right, the average projection effectively becomes stronger. Therefore, I think that it dilutes the effect of correlations because it's more relying on these average scores, right? So I think it's actually less likely that you get Diggs and May together. Say May doesn't grade out well on a point per dollar basis, right? Like, let's say that Diggs is like a really good value play, and May is not a good value play. He's too expensive. You can't fit other players in. You have to play some like kind of cheap punt plays. But if you play, you know, Justin Fields, for example, at 9,400, well, he gives you the ability to maybe get some kickers, maybe get some defenses, right? And they just end up having like a higher kind of average projection. I think that at a higher sim diversity, you're more likely to get the Diggs-May punt play combo where if May is bad value, right? But then on lower sim diversity, if Fields is good value, you're more likely to get Diggs, Fields, kicker, or defense, or some other spot with a higher average projection. So basically, the lower the sim diversity, the more it is trying to optimize based on average. It's optimizing more and more based on average projection. And I think that takes away from some of the stacking and correlation kind of components. So hopefully that sheds some light on what's going on there. But I do not think you need to do it. If you wanted to, maybe you could lower sim diversity and increase correlation to offset that effect. Maybe it always kind of depends why you're doing what you're doing, right? What is the reason for the lowering of the sim diversity? And then you kind of go from there and figure out which avenue works best. So do you have to lower it or do you have to change both? No. Can you change both? Yes. Is there good and bad reasons for both options? Yes, as well. All right, next question. Hi, Andrew. I had a quick question regarding how to adjust a single lineup within your portfolio. For example, let's say you entered in multiple contests, a 150 max, a 20 max, a 3 max, and a single entry in a high stakes contest like the FanDuel Monster. If you're not satisfied with the lineup to build producers for that one high stakes entry, how would you go about modifying just that specific lineup without impacting the others? Apologies if this sounds a bit confusing, and I appreciate your insight. Yeah, good question. So I think one thing you can do here is I would probably turn off auto run diversifier, because if it's on, it can start diversifying maybe when you don't want it to, right? I like to leave it off. That way I can diversify at my own discretion. Then let's say, right, you have like a couple different groups and, you know, we'll just do two groups, for example, right? I have one lineup down here, and then I have, we'll just use this 15 group as our other, right? And this can be as many contests as you're playing, right? It could be the 150, the 20, the 3, the 1. Well, let's say I open this one up, you know, for my FanDuel Monster, we called it, and I don't like it. Or maybe I like most of it, or I just don't like one piece, right? All you need to do is come in here, right? And maybe I don't like Breece Hall for whatever reason, right? I can just hover here. I can go to this trash icon. And then I can go to my flex, and then I can just go and pick someone else, right? And it seems like a lot of the other high salary options are taken. But for the sake of example, maybe I go and I switch this up, right? Maybe I go and I take DeMario Douglas, and then I'm happy with this for whatever reason, right? It doesn't need to make sense right now. And then I can just save this. And then I'm going to overwrite the original because I want this lineup in my set. And then now this group has the lineup with DeMario Douglas, and I haven't impacted any of my other groups. So I think switching from compact to the expanded view, using the trash icon, simply changing a piece and just kind of going from there is like your best option. And it can be more than one, right? If you want to handcraft this as much as you want, like, that's totally cool. All right. Next question. After creating lineups, say you're filling multiple portfolios but prefer your three entry to be certain captain or contain a certain player. Is there a filter to achieve this, or would it manually have to be done for the pool? I think this is in this build, I have two contests. And then in my other build, I'm just going to build for my single entry because I want it to look a very specific way. And then within that build, right, I'm going to curate my player pool significantly. I'm going to come in here and say, hey, in that one, I literally only want May, Henderson, Diggs. And, you know, these are my three captains that I'm going to consider. And I'm going to build lineups with just those three, right? I think that is a perfect opportunity to do different builds. And then, you know, in that second build, you're only going to have one group, and it's just going to be the 3-max. And then because only the 3-max is here, only that group will get lineups. So that's what I would do here. I think second build is the right call here. All right, next question. Hi, Andrew. Just got out of the hospital. Hope I didn't miss much. Hope you're feeling okay. Under the old SaberSim on FanDuel, I was able to see lineups that were not attached to a specific group. Every now and then, I would be able to pick a couple of those lineups and add it to a group or a contest. Would I still be able to do this with the new Sabres system? Thanks. Yeah, for sure. So you probably just want to open up your pool. I have mine pinned at the top. You know, if you don't have it pinned, you might not see it. But what you can do is you can close your groups, you can find your pool, and then you can pin it if you like it at the top. And then you can just kind of sift through here, right? Open it up, look at your options, change your sorting metric as needed. If you have a specific group, you know, you can change this number, right? Maybe I need 15 lineups. Maybe I want to look at 50, right? I open this up number up to 50, and then now it will expand this to 50 lineups total. So you have a couple different options to view more lineups. All right, next question. Hey, Andrew, what's a good strategy for a small NBA slate? Should I adjust correlation and sim diversity? Thanks. We adjust these automatically for you, right? So you don't need to touch them. I would say just, you know, I think we talked about this like a little bit yesterday, like have a process for like classic NBA and then kind of have a process for showdown NBA, right? Like those two styles are like a little bit different, but your process for like 3 games, 6 games, 10 games should kind of feel really, really similar. Here, right? Your sliders are 0-8 for today. And then if we go back to yesterday, I think there were 9 games on the slate, and we go and we look at the settings here. The sliders were 2-7. See, so we're changing these automatically for you based on the number of games on the slate. But if you're looking for ideas about kind of process stuff, I would really recommend going over to Saber School and going to the Saber system and checking out some of these videos. If you haven't seen them at all, and I'll just remove my face here, start with the welcome video. And then depending kind of on your style, you know, check out some of these quick start guides, some of these stage one videos. There's different videos for kind of different style players. If you're, you know, building one lineup, if you like to have a core, if you're familiar with optimizers, right? So kind of check these out, read them, see which videos speak the most to you. And then I would start there for like insights if, you know, you're starting like completely fresh. All right, next question. Andrew, looking for strategy for multiplier contests. Seems like those contests are never really talked about. Thanks. Yeah, for sure. So multipliers are a little less popular, but we're happy to talk about them when we get questions. What I would say is you got to figure out what percentage of lineups cash. And I really think using the percentiles is a good option. So you change your diversity from portfolio to uniques one. You change your rank by to one of these percentiles, right? If 30% of the field wins, right? Okay, use the 75th percentile option. If 20% of the field wins, right? Use the 85th. If 10%, right? If it's a 10X, use the 95th option, right? You basically always want to pick a percentile that is within the cashing range. So I think with regard to multipliers, I think uniques one and percentiles are the best options. So I would definitely explore using percentiles. All right. Looks like we're all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.